Today's program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn, new American cuisine in one of Washington, D.C.'s oldest hotels, located in DuPont Circle. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Weitz, your host, and it's a new year, and therefore it's time to make a new start. A clean, fresh, do-over start. Set the meter back to zero, tear off the old calendar page, upgrade to System 7, finally, and begin the year. A new year is a new chance to be clear and clean, and most importantly, truthful with yourself, with your friends, your family, although not necessarily with your employer, as that can get you fired, but mostly with everybody. You should lie to your employer on a regular basis. Tell them what they want to hear, not what they should be hearing. I learned that one the hard way. Now, because not everybody is truthful, as we know, and having lived through Bush 1 and Bush 2 and Reagan and Watergate and Vietnam, we know what truthfulness is all about. But that stuff was nothing. That was small organic potatoes, inconsequential. Because as we all know, the biggest liars of all, the most fantastical fabricators of falsehoods, the greatest perpetrators of bunkhood is the food industry. And more specifically, the foodiness industry. Because they've told us more lies and spread more sugar-coated, trans-fat-free bullshit on our toast in the last 75 years than any government or dictatorship. Except maybe North Korea, because they would win the gold in bullshit if it were an Olympic sport. I, however, would win the gold in parallel parking, by the way, if that were an Olympic event. And it should be, because I mean perfectly parallel parking a car in Manhattan requires much more skill and technique than, say, curling. But anyway, foodiness is a house built on a foundation of lies, a precarious balance of carefully constructed fabrications and industry-funded dubious studies and government-subsidized commodity surpluses all piled up on a cheap structure made of corn and wheat and oats and rice and sugar and slapped together at the joints with margarine and corn syrup. And then that house is painted up and trimmed and all pink and pretty and packaged to look like home sweet home and sold to you, the gullible, unknowing, all-eating consumer. Well, not you, of course, my listeners. You listen to HRN, so you know better. You know the truth, or at least you seek the truth, and that's all we ask. Life is a quest for truth, right? I guess so. So this week, I want to talk about lying. The lies we've all been told by foodiness, the falsehoods and fables that they've sold us over the decades. But specifically, I want to talk about your mom, or how your mom believed the lies, thinking she was doing the right thing and then acting on that wrong information in her parenting of you and me. And I'm not blaming the moms. I mean, what did they know? There was no Heritage Radio Network back then. There was Mother Earth Magazine and Rodale Press and all the kind of fringy people trying to be heard in the background. But maybe your mom couldn't hear them because she had taken too much Valium just to get through her crushingly dull suburban day. Or maybe she was too busy working full-time and raising six kids. Or whatever her situation was, she was just trying to get through without the internet and with only six TV channels. Now, I'm not a mom, so I can't judge. Well, yeah, I can judge. I mean, I've built an entire radio show on judging, but I'm trying to give the moms of the past the benefit of the doubt. Today's moms, however, I'm showing no mercy because there is so much information out there now, and there are no excuses for not being informed about real food versus foodiness and not believing the hype machine. You moms today have no excuse, but the moms of my day, the moms of, let's say, the 50s through the 80s, okay, you guys get some slack. So your mom's a liar, and my mom was a liar too. And she still believes a lot of the lies, which I spend many hours trying to convince her of whenever I see her. Like, she still thinks she should be eating skim milk and non-fat artificially sweetened yogurt and cereal from a box for breakfast and frozen farmed salmon. And I got to cut her some slack, though, considering that my mom spent the first 12 years of her life in near starvation in war-torn Europe. She's been through a lot. But your mom? That's another story. She's a liar and her pants are on fire. So as Ira Glass would say today on our show, Lying Moms and the Lies They Tell, it's Let's Get Real, Act One. We're going to take a very short break here. When we come back, the lies your mother told you.
You are listening to Radio Raw by Opie City on the heritageradionetwork.org.
The following program has been brought to you by Tabard Inn. Tabard Inn, Washington, D.C.'s quintessential small hotel, is located on a quiet, tree-lined street just 5 blocks from the White House. Vibrant yet unassuming, the Tabard is comprised of 40 sleeping rooms, each unique in character and design. Feast on eclectic American cuisine in their acclaimed restaurant, or enjoy a cocktail and listen to live jazz in one of their cozy Victorian seating areas. Mingle with travelers from around the world who find the Tabard the only place to stay when taking their travels to Washington. For more information, visit tabardinn.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. We're talking about lies and your mom. So the first lie that I want to talk about is one that I observed being perpetrated and then rebuffed the other day at the pedicure store. Now, I gave up getting regular pedicures years ago to save money, but also to limit my exposure to the poisonous morass of toxic chemicals that is nail polish and in the air and in the products used in salons. But my feet have been taking a lot of use lately with all my exercising and consulting that I've been doing this year. So I decided in the middle of the blizzard last weekend to go get my pedis cured. They needed it. Don't judge. That's my job. So I went across the street to the Korean nail salon where I had never been before, aka the pedicure store. And I'm sitting in the chair and I'm trying to get the massage feature to work. If you've ever been to one of these places, you know about the massage chairs, and I'm trying to get it to work in a soothing, relaxing way as opposed to the way it was working, which seemed to be trying to shove me out of my chair while shaking my head loose from my neck. It was not enjoyable. And the nice Korean lady was shaving the calluses off of my feet and judging my hairy legs and using her magic tools, and I was reading In Touch magazine about how Bruce Jenner is actually turning himself into a woman. And then I looked up and I observed a particularly disturbing but eminently useful as show material episode. So there's this woman, youngish, 30, 35 max, cute, you know, good looking, dark, kind of straight hipster hair, straight, cut blunt bangs, and her bangs were dyed red, like not like hair red, like primary color, red, standard kind of Brooklyn cool girl outfit for a blizzard. And she was sitting with her feet under the toenail dryer. Now, I hadn't noticed her when I first came in, but then I noticed that she had her son with her. Now, the son looked like he was about 8, although he could have been 3 or 14, because I have no idea about kids' ages, but I would say about 8. And the kid also had a super hipster haircut with his bangs dyed the same red as his mom's bangs. Oh, so cute. And he had on very expensive-looking skinny jeans and canvas high-top shoes, even though, did I mention, it was during the blizzard? And he was sitting there waiting for his mom to finish up drying her feet. And as she was finishing and paying, the kid turned to the reception desk, where there was a basket of assorted wrapped candy in little mini sizes, like little mini packs of gummy things and little Starlight mints and sort of fake M&M looking things and some of those like white lifesavers that are mints but come in single packs. And the nice Korean lady offers him the basket and he takes a packet of the gummy things. But then his mom looks at him sternly and he puts them back. And she says to him and everyone and no one in particular, "You know, Hampton, no gummies." His name wasn't Hampton, but something similarly 21st century Brooklyn. And then again to everyone and no one, she continues, "He just went to the dentist and he had 6 cavities, so no chewy candy or gummies for you." And at that point, the kid turned to her, pointed his tiny little finger at her and said, "Yeah, but it's your fault." She then sheepishly looked around to everyone and no one and shrugged in a hapless way that she hoped looked charming under her red bangs and said, "Yeah, it's my fault. Gummy vitamins. Who knew?" Gummy effing vitamins. Who knew indeed? Of course she gave the kid gummy vitamins. She thought she was doing the right thing, feeding her precious Xavier or Buchanan or Jeremiah or whatever his name is, his much-needed nutrients in a fun, chewy form. I'm a good mom. I give my kids vitamins. They need them. Well, listen here, Miss Red Bangs. First of all, no, they don't. Nobody needs vitamin supplements. What we all need is real food. And secondly, gummies are candy. Even with vitamins added, they're candy. I did a whole episode on this a while back called Vitamins Come From Food, Not Gummies. So you were lied to, and then you lied to him. You told him that he could eat candy to get his vitamins instead of giving him real food. You tricked him. And then when it turned out that the gummy vitamins were giving him cavities, you turned around and told him he couldn't eat gummies anymore. What kind of mixed message are you sending to your kids, Red Bangs? Instead, she told him to put back the packet of gummies and take the minty lifesavers instead. At which point, I wanted to jump up off the massage chair and throttle her for being such a dope, for being so clueless that she really thought feeding her kids foodiness candy with vitamins was a good idea, and also for probably not making sure he was brushing his teeth well enough and then admonishing him for taking the pack of gummies. But when he turned and pointed his little index finger and fixed his steely gaze at her from under his scarlet fringe, I thought, yeah, you go, kid. He knows the deal. She's doomed. So moms lie. They lie about vitamins and all kinds of stuff. They swallow the lies they've been told and then regurgitate them back to feed their little baby birdies, like a bunch of foodiness-fed finches. So while you're contemplating that tasty image, here's another lie to chew on. Another major lie we've all been told for years was about butter and saturated fats. Now, I did an episode on this, too, a long time ago called Believe in Butter, and I thought that we had finally all gotten over the butter equals bad lies or the saturated fat equals death mythology, the whole effing margarine scam pulled on us. I thought we had re-embraced butter, that we were back into eating fat, that we know better now. Some of us have. I mean, I eat butter now with wild abandon. Sometimes I'll just snack on a nice cold stick of it while I watch Mad Men on Netflix and drink a martini. I believe in butter. It's real food. It's been eaten for millennia. It's good for your brain. It's delicious, and it makes you feel good. So why the lies? Why did all the moms buy the tubs and sticks and squeeze bottles of margarine for so many years? Well, I'm not going to get into the history of margarine. You can listen to episode 35 again for that as homework. But the newest lie is a funny kind of lie where the foodiness industry is now saying, okay, maybe we were a little bit wrong. So here's a product that we'll introduce that's closer to the real thing, but still a foodiness product that we can still capitalize on and take credit for inventing. Because we can't just sell you the actual real product, because that's been done, so we'll sell you this instead. It's like Philip Morris funding anti-smoking ads and then patting themselves on their huge hairy back for doing so. It's like the new Coffee Mate creamers that are made from, guess what? Cream. I know I've discussed these before, but those ads are everywhere now, with Coffee Mate also doing their own back padding over how they've introduced something so new, so revolutionary, so real? Cream and sugar mixed up in a bottle for adding to coffee. Guys, we've kind of had that stuff for years now. It's called cream and sugar. So over this holiday vacation, when I wasn't thinking about the show, I'm always thinking about the show, but I was watching far too much TV for my own good, and I started seeing ads for a new foodiness product called Deliciously Simple by I Can't Believe It's Not Butter. That's the full name. Deliciously Simple by I Can't Believe It's Not Butter. The promise of Deliciously Simple is that it's a new kind of margarine, one that contains, get this, real yogurt and whipped up canola oil. So it's healthy? Healthy. Now, first of all, what is so deliciously simple about that? If I want Deliciously Simple, I'll eat yogurt. If I want yogurt, I'll eat real yogurt, not industrially processed yogurt solids mixed into whipped oil and chemicals. And if I want buttery tasting spread, I'll eat butter. Butter tastes really buttery. It's amazing. So there's no delicious and no simple. Simple to me implies that I could do it at home. Homespun, pure, basic, put cream in a jar and shake it until it's butter. I don't think even my kitchen has the equipment necessary to make margarine at home. I don't have hydrogen guns and industrial yogurt separators and spinners and vats of carotene color and refined canola oil and 50-gallon barrels. So where's the delicious or the simple? It's still margarine with a little industrial yogurt foodiness funny business added to trick gullible foodiness eaters into spreading it on their frozen whole grain waffle sticks. Same lies, different packaging. Do they think we're so stupid that the addition of yogurt is going to make us think this is something better or more real? And when I looked up this product while I was researching the show, I saw that Country Crock, not to be outdone by I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, has introduced Simply Delicious, not to be confused with Deliciously Simple, an identical product, the same whipped up canola oil and palm oil and yogurt. Same shit, different name, but barely. And while canola oil is made from rapeseed, unfortunate name, which is a cousin of nutritional superfood broccoli rabe, rapeseed is actually inedible to humans as a plant. And the industrial refinement processing of rapeseed into canola oil makes it very bad for you, and some say even toxic. So WTF is wrong with just eating butter. Now what's in it? Cream. Maybe a little salt. Those products, Simply Delicious and Deliciously Simple, and all the other margarine products have the same identical calories and fat of butter, ounce for ounce. But butter is food. And Deliciously Simple, Simply Delicious is a country crock of lies. Spreadable, creamy, buttery flavored lies. I can't believe people still fall for this shit, but they do. They fall right into the crock, the big country crock of fake food, foodiness, fabrication. Did your mom feed you margarine growing up? Well, sorry. There you go. That's because your mom's a liar. We're going to take one more break, and we'll be back with more lies.
You are listening to Intrigue by Obesity on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Stay tuned for more from Let's Get Real.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. I'm Erica Wides, your host, and this is the Heritage Radio Network.org, which is listener supported. Did you make your contribution at the end of the year? Did you? Well, it's not too late. You still can. Please support us. Go to the website, heritageradionetwork.org, and click on support or join or whatever it is. You can also find Let's Get Real on Twitter at Let's Get Real Show. You can find the show on Facebook also. And you can find all the Heritage Radio shows ever produced on iTunes or on heritageradionetwork.org. They're all archived. There are thousands and thousands of them. It's been almost 5 years, you know. So back to the lying. Now, if there's one food lie that has been perpetrated upon us the longest, it's the lie of the juice. I know. I rant and I rave about juice a lot here. But a couple of juicy little lies popped up during the holidays that I just had to share with you. I can't resist because we're all telling the truth now, right? And we need to expose the liars right here, right now. It's the Juice Truth Commission. It's like the Watergate hearings or Iran-Contra or HUAC. Now back to the nail salon. Remember that kid from the first segment? He got cavities from his well-intentioned liar of a mother feeding him gummy vitamins. The poor guy. They thought they were doing the right thing, and now a mouthful of mercury. So I read an article last week on one of the many food and health and lifestyle websites that I frequent to steal ideas from. I mean, that I do research on. And the article, I think it was in the New York Times, so it was totally legit. It has to be true. The article was about a woman who drank nothing but organic juices, like kale and cucumber and carrot and celery juice, all day, and also drank water with lemon all day, and who then went to her dentist and was told that she had worn away all her tooth enamel. The dentist asked her at first if she ate candy and drank Coke all day, and she was so horrified by that and indignantly told him about all the juice she drank. And he told her that the acids in all the concentrated juices and the lemon juice in the water were destroying her teeth as badly as candy and soda addicts get. Quel fromage. She said she brushed all the time, too, and he said to never brush until 30 minutes after eating because acidic foods weaken tooth enamel and your saliva neutralizes that acid. So you need to wait, otherwise you'll brush away your weak enamel. I didn't know any of this, but I don't drink juice. Now, I don't always trust the medical establishment, to say the least. I mean, these are the people who used to tell us smoking was good for us and that we should eat margarine. But for goodness sake, this does underscore the ridiculousness of the juicing craze. Now, as I walk around the city these days, I notice on blocks, every other single storefront is now popping up as a little juice bar or a little juiceteria or a little juice hut or a juice-o-mat or a liquiteria. If one more little juice store pops up in New York, I am going to scream. Enough with the juice. Because another little tidbit that I read last week was that there's now a juice store in, where else? Los Angeles, that has a juice that is $20 a bottle. Now, unless that juice is made from the tears of fairies and dew gathered from the mists of Avalon and blended with diamond dust, no juice is worth $20. I mean, imagine all the real food you could make with that money. Instead of pouring it down the bulimia-scarred throat of some size zero B-list actress, think of the piles of vegetables and fruit required to make that juice and all the fiber and bulk and food that gets wasted in the juicing process. Can't we please just move on? Can we stop the juicing madness, please? How about just water? How about just eating vegetables? Does everything have to be pureed? Have we become that infantilized? Can we not chew anymore? Maybe our enamel has worn away so much that we've all been losing our teeth and we are going to have to just live on liquids in the future. And what about cocktails? Well, juicing has infiltrated clubs and bars too, because the New York Times, ever the reliable source, reported that it's not enough now to just drink your juice all day at work. You have to juice at night with your gin at the club, too. Kale juice and cucumber juice and carrot and celery and beet juice mixed with alcohol as cocktails so you can keep on juicing right into the wee hours of the morning. Now, fresh juices have always been important ingredients in cocktails, and I appreciate that. But now the reverse has happened. The juice is the drink, with a nighttime shot of something white added to just ease the hunger pains and make you forget your juice-induced starvation misery. That's the reason people used to use a lot of cocaine, because it would keep them from getting hungry. Just saying. Now, when I was a kid, my mom only let us drink juice. That's what we drank. We never drank any soda in our house. There was no Kool-Aid, no Hawaiian Punch, no Hi-C, no Tang, nothing like that, because she was a good mom. And good moms only fed their kids juice, pure, undiluted, same sugar as soda, juice. And guess what? You know, I was fat. Because think of all the calories and sugar in all that juice, apple juice and orange juice especially, and grape juice when she'd spring for it. Grape juice was my childhood crack. I couldn't get enough of it. And apple cider in the fall and lemonade in the summer. Oh, it was a veritable juicy ocean we all swam in. So well-meaning, so caloric, so obesity-inducing. Such a lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire? No, more like pants splitting and melting because they have to be synthetic stretchy pants to fit my juiced up bottom half into. We drank the Kool-Aid of the juice. We probably should have been drinking the water instead. So, Happy New Year from all of us here at Let's Get Real. And let's all embrace the truth this year. The truth about the juice, the truth about the gummy vitamins, the truth about the margarine, the truth about real food. Let's embrace the truth everywhere, except when you're at work, because remember I said, in which case, telling them what they want to hear, because the consequences aren't worth it. So remember, if you don't want to eat or drink or chew or spread shit, keep on listening to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides. Thanks to Joe in the control room. Thanks to Chris Nutter, my co-producer, Ben Kaplan, who wrote the theme music. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.